Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. I'm a psychotherapist, and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life, to illuminate the heart, the mind, the body, and the show, and the soul. I'm so excited going right into the show because we have an amazing one. The theme today is the roadmap to create the change that we want in our lives. We're going to start with my first special guest, Crichton Miller. Crichton is the author of The Golden Thread of Time, which is a book designed to bring both science and spirituality back into balance. He is here to challenge contemporary historical and religious thinking. Crichton, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. Because, Crichton, I know that a lot of times our discoveries come about as a result of a trauma or a dissatisfaction, upheaval, chaos, disappointment. And they can lead us to our life path. We question our reality and the way things are. The world we know, our mindsets, our philosophies are shattered. We break out of a box and we give birth to something new. What is your journey, your own breakout journey, that created your book, The Golden Thread of Time?
I had quite a difficult upbringing and ran away from home at the age of 14 to London. I think that kind of started me looking at the meaning of life, so I was reading books into libraries, everything I could, but I have no formal education. And sometimes I often wonder if that's perhaps the reason I can see things that others can't.
So what did that lead you to? So when you started that discovery and started looking, what did that take you to?
Well, I started at the... I always remember the first thing that affected me was about the age of eight. And I was looking at Orion in the sky waiting for the bus to go to school. It was still dark. We were in Scotland, so it was quite dark till late in the morning then. And I looked at Orion and became fascinated by the shapes in the stars. And so I guess that sent me on a journey of questioning everything throughout my life. And basically that questioning led me to the discovery that I've made. So the discovery I made was that the cross is an instrument. And it's much older than Christianity. And I patented it. So I got two UK patents on the Celtic cross design as an instrument for astronomy, navigation, and surveying. So it's an all-encompassing tool that is capable of measuring spherical geometry.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was just going to ask you to talk a little bit more about that for the listeners to understand how that serves us and the history around that.
Okay. Well, the history around it is that it's a practical and functional instrument that measured time. And time is the creator, the creating in the moment, if you accept. So a lot of people live in a linear path looking back to the past and looking forward into the future. Our ancestors didn't do that. They lived in a form of cyclical time, and they developed that knowledge out of measuring the motions of the stars, the moon, and the sun as the Earth span and as it orbited the Earth. And they tried to reflect that in buildings, which is how I came about the discovery, because the most important thing about designing buildings, and particularly using the stars to measure time, is the accuracy. So the first thing I discovered with the cross, having made one, was that it was accurate to within 3 miles on the Earth's surface if you wanted to find your position. And that's extremely powerful, but that's within visible range. So what it appears to be is that in ancient times, far back as the Neolithic era, people use the stars to keep time. And around that came star cults. And those star cults are still reflected today in modern religions. Most of what I've found in my research over the last 18 years and traveling in the world is that nearly every ancient civilization was built on basic astronomy, what we would call today astrology, which is what it means. It just means basic astronomy as opposed to fortune telling. And that's a really important thing to discover, because that's not covered in modern science. Although you can read the Bible in a totally different way if you understand that it's written with their knowledge of cyclical time based on astronomy. Example would be Genesis 1, verse 14, where it tells you that that signs are used to keep time. And signs are constellations. So
how does that guide us in our lives now? Like, how does that apply to our living?
Well, it applies to our living now by teaching us our ancestral way of living in the moment. So, for instance...
In the moment, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they lived in the moment, and we don't, since Kant and the idea of natural selection, we tend to think in a linear form. In the same way that our ancestors used to see things in image form, we, at least 50% of society, see things in the written word. So it's quite linear. And because it's linear,
right,
they tend to look back towards the past and say, oh, my life is like this because that happened, or this person did this to me, or I missed that opportunity. And so they live very much in the past, almost trying to change it in their minds. Not everybody does this, but most people do. And, of course, you can't change anything in the past because the past doesn't exist. What you can change is your positive attitude towards the future and use your life in a creative and positive way. That's what our ancestors knew. That appears to be what's been lost in the world today. Often I think we've deteriorated as opposed to evolved into a better species.
Well, you know, I when you were saying that, that was my next question. Like, how much do you think that this has impacted us in terms of, in harmful ways, not being attuned to this and not being connected to this, that how much damage has it created for us, and how can we repair this?
It's created a massive amount of damage, and it still does, and we see that on the news every day. Where people's illusions, if you like, they fail to look at the moment and the day and nature. But the interesting part of my discoveries were that the word nature comes from Egypt, from the spirits of Neteru, which means that nature actually means God. And yet mankind today says we are at war with nature.
Right.
Our ancestors would have been horrified.
I was going to say, what do we do to repair this? How do we get back in attunement or alignment?
We have to get into a sense of reality. And the Buddhists tell us this story by saying you must live in the moment. And we have to do that. And we have to, in doing that, recognize that we are in conflict with each other over beliefs. And those beliefs are caused, which means by love. Belief means by love, which implies without knowledge. And in those beliefs, we then try to support our peer groups, be it science, religion, atheism, whatever group that people are part of, support the peer groups by arguing that those who are outside that group are wrong. And that appears to be the error. Now, the idea in the past of holding a society together was that if everybody had the same belief structure, whether it was right or wrong, it held society together. Nowadays, of course, we've gone into, we now have moved into the idea of secularity, and that causes some conflict. It's interesting when you see how atheists fight against Christians over the idea of one word, and that is that the world was created in 6,000 years. But the word world doesn't mean earth. It never did. And one of the most powerful things for people seeking is that they go and get a really good college dictionary and look at the etymology of the word. So the word world means epoch of man. And therefore, because we lived in an astrological society, there were three ages. We live in the age of Pisces. The last one was the age of Aries, and before that was Taurus. And so each of those are 2,160 years long. So when the old priest said it is 6,000 years since the world was created, they mean society of man, not the planet. So one of the words caused the problem.
I guess what when you're saying that we were all held together by beliefs, and whether they were healthy or not, and now we have secular beliefs.
Yeah.
I'm not clear in terms of how that. I mean, if systems are not serving us, is it not true that it is healthy for us to challenge them and to not get stuck in belief systems or a set of belief systems that are not serving us or dysfunctional?
I think that's right, and I think the problem is that dysfunctionality continues long after a particular belief system that holds society together is no longer valid. And I think that's very much the case. And the war between religion trying to keep its power, let's talk about Christianity or Christendom, trying to keep its power as people, scientists began to argue that that wasn't right, caused a schism, if you like. So you have a war between evolution and creationism, scientific theory and religious thought. But what's missing is that our ancestors, thousands of years ago, survived using scientific principles. They didn't use the high technology that we have now, but that high technology came in an unbroken tree of knowledge from the mathematics that they got from measuring the stars to measure time and do their festivals and their agriculture and the hunter-gathering activities.
So, because we're closing in a bit here, Crichton, okay. And so I just wanted to hit a main point for the listeners. With all of that knowledge and all that understanding, how can we extrapolate that into our own lives to create betterment for ourselves? Like, what tools do we need, and what can we now take from your research and your understanding?
My understanding is that we need to remove illusion and then be able to just look at the moment and look at what's around us. And it's the illusions, the idea of a life after this one. Whether there is or not, it's not important, but to get rid of this one while you're in it, looking for something that may or may not exist, causes issues. Not living in the moment causes issues. And it's the removal of the illusion. So those systems that held us together and apart when we were enslaved or when we became servants, we're now free. We've been freed at a great deal of cost and suffering of people who rebelled against the systems that didn't function for them. And we're now free. But those things that held our old society together are still causing strings in the people in the way that they've been taught or what their peer group puts on them and so forth. This conflict, if you like.
Okay, so the whole just really plugging into just being connected to, I get the moment, which is such an important, from whatever perspective we come from, coming back to that understanding is crucial to our well-being and global harmony. Crichton, thank you so much for your message. For the listeners out there, you can find out more about Crichton at his website, Crichton Miller. That's CrichtonMiller.com. His information is in the message board and links below. You can check out his amazing book, The Golden Thread of Time, and it's available on Amazon. Thank you so much, Crichton, for your time, your energy, and your insights.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you.
Many blessings.
And you.
Thanks, Crichton, so much for so important insights into understanding how and why it is important for well-being to stay in the moment. We have more insights from my next special guest, Generation Healer, best-selling author and award, and relationship expert, Dr. Sky Blossoms. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss all the insights from Dr. Sky.
If you want the best way to heal from life's challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next special guest today is third generation healer, number one best-selling and award-winning author and relationship expert, Dr. Sky Blossoms. Dr. Sky was born with a unique intuitive talent, and she helps you uncover exactly what keeps you unfulfilled in relationships so that you can find the passion, love, and connection that you desire. Ah, that's why we're really happy to have Dr. Sky here. She will share strategies to help us escape disappointments and create truly blissful relationships. Dr. Sky, welcome back. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. It's a delight. I'm glad
yes,
to be
no,
here.
Yeah, me too. And it's wonderful to have you back. And Dr. Sky, we all know that depth and intimacy in our love life can be hard to sustain, and the lack of it can not only be frustrating but be painful. Mm-hmm. And we get into ruts in our relationship. We can find ourselves stuck in habitual roles and patterns that we find hard to break that actually exacerbate the problem. And they can actually become more embedded with time. We tend to think that, you know, the older we get, the wiser, but if we keep repeating the same patterns, they become more embedded and we can find ourselves more stuck than less. So, yeah. Dr. Sky, how do we stop repeating the same patterns and to find the passion and connection that we desire?
Oh, that is such a great question. And I was smiling as you were saying, it seems like the older we get, the smarter we get. But what actually happens is like we're climbing the hill and we're carrying a backpack of our emotions. And as we keep on climbing up, we keep on putting more into that backpack, like every heartbreak, every, you know, disappointment, everything. And we keep accumulating it, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and we start smiling less and less. And, you know, it does seem like a vicious circle that many of my clients that and many people that I come across don't know how to break from. So, It's an internal work. In order for that to happen, first of all, you have to reach the point where you had enough. And it sounds a little brutal, but what I've been observing, most people are getting very, very comfortable in their pain. They're settling in their relationships. They're living in less than fulfilling, less than extraordinary, less than even happy unions, or they're dating, but you know, all kinds of situations where you kind of have something so you don't feel lonely, but it's not really what you want. But it's okay there because you know how to deal with that, and the fear of nothing or not unknown or being lonely is even worse. So people are settling for less than what they truly desire. So in order for a real change to occur, first and foremost thing that needs to happen, the pain has to be enough so that you reach that point when you say, that's it. I'm refusing to take that any second longer. And then you start coming across the tools, the teachers, the information that helps you work through those blocks that have been accumulated and reinforced for years. Does it make sense?
Oh, no, it makes tons and tons of sense. And I think because we need to decide what is enough. And I think that, I mean, certainly I know that you would see this too in your work, is that sometimes we get so accustomed to a certain way, and then we give up hope. We tend to think, well, that's the only way it's going to be. And then we get complacent, and we begin participating in things that really are unhealthy for us and don't nurture us or make us unhappy. And, for instance, you brought up the loneliness, which I think is such a thing that humans really struggle with. And because mm-hmm. we don't want to deal with certain things or run from them, we'll still, again, we'll keep adding on to that baggage and layers. So when is enough? Like, and I know you said, and I love your point, that we do have to come to the point when we say it's enough. How can we help get to where we really don't just cop out or numb out or run away and say, here's my boundary?
I love that. So I want to say that this is the most difficult step to make, to arrive to the point when you say it's enough. Because once you're there, you're on the brink of a breakthrough, and that's going to happen inevitably. Arriving to that point and saying that's enough, despite of all the fears, is the most difficult thing, no matter what you're trying to do, whether it's breaking to the next level of income, whether it's creating a blissful relationship, or achieving the next goal in your physical body and health. So how you get there, you need to stop and ask yourself if nothing changes and things stay the way they are right now, what is going to happen 2 years down the road? What is going to happen 5 years down the road? What is going to happen 20 years down the road? Let's say if you're in a relationship that is okay, you know, you really get a lot of irritations from your partner, you're not truly connecting, but it's kind of there, it's easier to run the household, it's easier to pay the bills together, you maybe have kids, whatever situation is, but you are deeply unfulfilled, and that resentment is building up. If you stop and ask yourself, okay, if I continue like that 5 years from now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my partner? What's going to happen with me? What will be, how it will impact my health? How it will impact my happiness? How it will impact my financial circumstance? Every aspect. And then project yourself 10 years from now and 20 years from now. And really face the reality, because unless you do anything, unless you do something, things are not going to change. And at the best case, they're going to stay as they are, and likely they're going to get worse. So I want to say I had one of the hugest blocks. It wasn't a business, it's just a personal story. It wasn't a business arena where I was associating with a limiting belief, success to sacrifice. It seemed to me that if I were to be successful, that means I had to sacrifice my personal happiness or my personal time or pursuits of leisure and stuff, that it will take all of my time. So, and when I faced that, what's going to happen if I kept that limiting belief for the next 5 years? What would happen if it 20, 30 years from now? And I projected myself into the future where I was miserable, deeply unfulfilled, completely failure, because I did not dare to go for things that I wanted. I did not dare to step up and embrace the dream lifestyle that I dreamed. It was such a painful realization beyond bearable that my whole physiology kicked into the new level of avoiding that pain, because, you know, there are two motivators that drive us towards pleasure or away from pain. And away from pain, because we survived for millennia and our biology is built that way, that our movement away from pain is by far more powerful than movement towards pleasure. So if somebody is motivated in a relationship, well, I want that true love and fulfillment, but then they're afraid of being lonely, that fear of loneliness is much, much stronger tag, and it's going to keep you in mediocrity. So you need to face that fear of loneliness and say, well, if I stay in this relationship and realize that actually I might end up being even lonelier in the relationship, and it's even worse than if I was by myself. Because
there was a lot of
being lonely in a relationship is way more painful than being by yourself.
Well, I mean, you have so many juicy points, Dr. Sky, that one of the things when you gave your own personal story and what I liked about your strategies, which was what I was thinking is these strategies are not just about relationships, they're about life, and that's what I really appreciate about you coming on to share them, because you can take the same approach and to all areas of our life to create change.
Yeah.
And I certainly... Like when we have to look at the two sides of things and say, okay, and that we're protecting something. So we have to decide what we're going to protect. Are we going to protect our loneliness at the expense of our happiness, or are we going to protect our happiness and let go of our loneliness? And so we have to make a decision what we're going to determine what's the most important thing for us and look at the thing that is underlying it. It really prevents us from moving forward. And taking that leap into allowing ourselves to step out of that denial and opening up to what is really.
Yeah. Nicola, I cannot hear you. Okay, sorry. There was a moment you went blank.
Muted. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, mm-hmm, I can.
Okay, perfect. Yes. So I was saying about just when we are... Your strategy of projecting into what we would see ourselves to be allows us to get a lot clearer about what's driving us and how we can see how we can get out of that denial.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we, when we come back to relating and relationships, how
mm-hmm.
do we create more of that foundation to take those leaps?
That's beautiful. Well, first, my invitation to our listeners out there is to create a vision, create a design of your relationship. And that's so basic and so kind of duh to me, but nobody takes the time or effort to do that. If you were to dream up of a house, you would have a vision in your mind what kind of house you would like. Would it have a pool? How many bedrooms? All of that stuff. When you think of your career, you have a certain visual. Most people don't have a visual of their relationship besides walking into the sunset on the beach with their lover. They don't think beyond they lived happily ever after point. They think up to the romantic dating and mating and all of that. And then when it gets to real life together, most people don't even envision that or don't design it. What kind of experiences you want to have on a daily basis when you wake up, when you do the dishes, when you run household, when you make love, when you go for vacation? How would you like to relate with your partner? For each person, I would say to start from a clean blank sheet and say, if I could get anything I want, what if I could get anything I want, how would I want my relationship to be? And start with a feeling place, how you want to feel in your relationship. And for I know that for me and for most people, it's like I want to feel inspired. I want to feel in love. I want to feel deep admiration for my partner. I want to feel adored and cherished. I want to feel respected. I want to feel supported. I want to have fun. I want to have adventure. And start in that generic emotional space. And then ask yourself, what would that look like? And start putting a little more picture into that. And then, like, some time later in the game, what kind of partner I need to be with in order to experience that, and what kind of person do I need to be in order to experience that. So all of these questions are so crucial, and I break down this point step by step in my book, Best Thing Ever, Escape Disappointments and Drama and Let Your Love Into Your Life, where I guide you through the process of creating purpose and the vision for your relationship, because then it's a foundation. It's like creating a design and a blueprint for your dream home before you actually go and build it. And most people in relationship, they go just buy a bunch of construct materials and, you know, don't even clean up a construction site, start building something.
Well, I think that point is really, really important, that we really need to focus on the layers, that we need to focus on the foundation rather than trying to escape something or to just fix holes in our soul. we need to be really making sure that what we're building on is really healthy and really strong. So I love those points, and I love that the bringing together of, you know, who we are and bringing that into our relationship. So, Dr. Scott, you've offered us so many wonderful strategies and awareness for creating amazing relationships. And we're wrapping up now, but we certainly have had a wonderful time having you here. Can you leave our listeners with one thing they can do right now to improve their love life?
I would say improve your love life with yourself. See where you can love yourself more, where you can be kinder to yourself, where you can cherish yourself a little more. Just be kind to yourself, and then you will see that the world will be kind to you, including your partner if you have one. Yeah.
And also opening up to create relationships as well if you are
seeking one.
So. Lovely message, such a love, and something that we can all work out and do, and that's where our power lies. We can work to create that kindness in ourselves. So thank you so much, Dr. Sky. For the listeners
thank
out
you.
There, you can find out more about Dr. Sky at her website, www.bestthingever.com. Her link is in the message board below, and that's her book, Best Thing Ever, and you certainly want to get that. Dr. Sky works with you wherever you are, so no one is limited. Check out more about Dr. Sky for her amazing strategies on creating the relationships that we all deserve. Thank you, Dr. Sky, for being here. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nicola. Thank you.
Wonderful tips from Dr. Sky. And we have more. My next very special guest is Dr. Michael Perlman. He's a psychiatrist and personal life strategist. We need to take a quick break from our sponsor. Don't go anywhere. Dr. Michael Perlman is someone you want to hear and listen to.
If you want the best way to heal from life's challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nick LeVert. My next very special guest is psychiatrist and personal life strategist, Dr. Michael Perlman. Dr. Perlman is a well-known Boston area psychiatrist and a spiritually focused life coach. Dr. Perlman has developed Law of Attraction journaling to guide people in revealing their divine self-expression. He is here to share strategies and how we can live the life of our dreams. Dr. Perlman, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on your show, Dr. Bird.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Dr. Perlman. I know that journaling is an ancient tradition, one that dates back to at least 10th century Japan. Successful people throughout history have kept journals. Presidents have maintained them. Famous figures, Oscar Wilde, the 19th century playwright, said, "I never travel without my diary. One should always have something sensational to write on the train." You have developed the Law of Attraction journaling. Why is it important to put these two things together?
What we're trying to do is get a home run. And to be simplistic, is that the major reason why people struggle with life or feel they're not achieving in life is they're not clear of the two distinctions of what is wanted, what their heart desires, and what's not yet quite right, which is the human experience and the human being fallible and vulnerable is about fear and doubt and hesitation and limits. So we have two different structures, our heart and simply the human beingness. Now, the lovely people you cited as journalers, they're always already, for the most part, opening up to their hearts, so they want more and more vibrations and clarity as to how they want things to be, and they form, you know, their works and their material coming from their heart's expression. They've opened up to their own soul forces, so it gets exciting. You want to comment on this and comment on that, and their life is overflowing. Those are successful journalists, but you don't have to be a major writer or celebrity. You simply can take a look at what's not yet quite right in your life and juxtapose that as to what you're really desiring from your heart.
I must say that I really love the heart centering that you're talking about. I think that so much of what we hear about is the mind, what you think.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I really love that the focus is on the heart, and that you're bringing that aspect in and making that the focal point. And why is that important?
Well, first, Dr. Bird, I'm not making it the focal point alone. I am suggesting, unless and until we can effectively separate our heart's
mm-hmm.
desire, what we truly love and want, and open up to that vibrational field, call it your spiritual beingness, your divine essence, your heart's desire, and pay attention to what that still, quiet, fearful voice of lack and fear and doubt and anger, because that's also a valid, accurate voice. So it's really walking and chewing gum. The Law of Attraction Journaling Program helps capture a clarity that, yes, I do have an animal. It's called Michael or Nicola. And we want to take care of that animal. It has wonderful information. And yet we also are not a human being trying to become spiritual. We're a spiritual being having this human experience in this form of Michael or Nicola.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be appreciative of these two structures. The senior structure is, of course, that we're spiritual beings. Where we come from that, we're going to return to that. But in this life plane, in this human experience, the clearer we are about our thoughts and feelings and what they tell us about, that's like our, where we're starting point, a map of where we are. And the more we can document this thought, that thought, and really look at those words, those feelings, that will reveal our human beingness. Most often it's not yet quite right. It feels uncomfortable, and that's okay. It's valid. And once we see it and become clear of it, then we can open up. We are opened up. We acknowledge what's not quite right. We're clear. We've already acknowledged, and we've already transcended. Now, what would we like to have? It's walking and chewing gum, balancing our heart's desire with our human being, and getting clear about that. Most people sort of want, I guess they sometimes misunderstand, as I get it, law of attraction. Well, I have to just think positive thoughts. And, of course,
right. That's
half the piece of it. But unless and until you can see the negative vibrations, which are not negative as though in an evil sense, but they're negative in that they're, I don't know if I, what will I do with all that money? Well, I don't know if I'm not that good looking. I'm not smart enough. See the fears. I don't want to go out. We have our limitations on a human being, and they're all valid, they're accurate, but the more we can be compassionate to them, appreciate them, be clear about them, and then say, well, okay, if this is a concern, then wouldn't it be nice if we could do this and then have that? And you see, we start to form a way that the animal becomes settled down, more comfortable, so it becomes a much more effortless ride. We're enjoying the human form, and the human form now as a very good master rather than being a cruel servant.
Lots of very strong points here. And what stands out to me is the balancing aspect of it, and that when you're not setting one up against the other, because we can do that in our minds, that we struggle and we fight, that you're really creating an invitation to be aware of parts of ourselves and then invite those parts to transcend the awareness of something that enhances us rather than sabotages us.
It's integrate, align with, be respectful of the human form and its limitations and its desires, and fears and doubts. And yet at the same time, once that form feels comforted and being heard by our higher knowing, let's say, then we can ride off, when we can create the life we desire. It's holding those two structures.
Right. How do we create more comfort for ourselves? Because I think that's the key is what you're saying. I mean, you keep pointing
that. It's being clear of both. It's being clear of what comfort means, when you've had it, how you like it, how you know it. So you're building more and more of a clarity. You're expanding on the imagination or your prior experiences or your make it up, how it would be. At the same time, you're able to pay attention to what you think and feel by really writing that down to see where it's blocked or how you're afraid of it or where it doesn't show up. And as
right.
you hold those two different structures, now they're different only because you, when you think of these ordinarily, they seem like two different, but they are both your
right.
structures. They're simply you're a spiritual being, and in this human plane you have a human experience, and the more appreciative, the more gentle and compassionate you are with your human beingness and listen to it, attend to it, yet at the same time, the higher vibrations of desire, of being of service and being, let's say, alive and celebrating this life shine through. But you have, let's say, the human being is an animal that's up for the ride, like a husky that'll pull the sled rather than driving the, you see? Rather than interfering with the ride.
Well, what you're saying is very strong. Well, in the human condition, because we tend to, and I mean, certainly I know you would see this in your work, I see this in mine, I hear this all the time from people, and we've all had our own struggles, that those self-doubts can be very, very strong. And
yes.
because of how strong they can be, that's why we struggle. And you keep talking about developing, which I totally agree with, that compassionate voice and support. How do we bring more of that in so that we're not fighting all the time with those self-doubts?
Okay.
The key
point and the key focus of the Law of Attraction journaling program, and everyone has access to their own unique, encrypted, confidential Law of Attraction journal, it guides you to start to pay attention to these two structures.
Mm.
As you start to reveal, first of all, appreciate the contrast. You see, there are feelings I have in my life that are ecstatic and exquisite, and there are other feelings that are creepy and awful. It's starting to separate those two vibrations and get to discern that the vibration of the human form is more likely to be a lower vibration, not yet quite right, uncomfortable, and appreciate more and more those higher vibrations belong more to something else, perhaps, and you start to get to own that you are a consciousness, you're awake, you're alive, and you're meant to enjoy this world. This world is meant for the enjoyment of the garden you've been given, so to speak. And when you write down and get clear of those two structures, then the path is open to expand your heart's desire, the vision. So once you're comforted and relaxed, okay, this is how I love to travel. This is how I'd like to be. This is my unique way that I want to be of service. And you're soaring in that vibration at the same time. You're balanced by the, well, wait a minute now, do I have enough money to go to Europe this time of year? You see? Both are valid, both are accurate, except that as you write these thoughts down, you separate them, you discern which is which, you get clear of this contrast, and then you can start to take those action steps that move you from the concerns, some are very valid and practical, to move you into the path that you want. So you now have a path to go. You have a sense of what's not yet quite right, and you can start to build the life of your dreams. But it means you need to tell the truth about what feels good, what's not so good, and listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will know.
So this act of writing is what allows us to
yes.
observe ourselves, see ourselves, and then so that we take the position of observer. So this, by putting it into a context or putting it into a form in the written word,
yes.
we can observe ourselves, see ourselves, and then have more perspective.
Yes,
that
the perspective opens
does.
Up. Exactly. When you start to say, I will tell you just somewhat of a digression. When I started to do this, I often had trouble understanding what my patients were saying because they go from this to that and this to that. And finally, I said, look, I'm going to write down what you say. And I would write down their thoughts. And then I said, is this it? Is this it? And then gradually, not that very long at any given time with a patient, they would say, yes, doc, that's it. And I would read it back, that's it. And at that moment of getting clarity of what they were jumbled about or angry about or upset about, I mean, it was all valid. I mean, it was not crazy, you know? They're genuinely unhappy. And they saw it, and there was a silence and a quiet. And in that quiet and silence, I knew the path was open to ask, so how would you like things to be if it weren't? And bang. The Law of Attraction Journal opened from there. Once people told the truth about what was not yet quite right, got clear, appreciate that clarity, and then from there, in that clarity, that is the acknowledgement, that's the transcendence. You're already in that zone of, well, okay, now I would like to have this and be this and do. And suddenly, a path was clear. But another finding was until and unless you get that you have a human beingness that may be formed by good parenting, bad parenting, things happen, things, you know, good, bad, but you have a human experience. Being appreciative of that, being clear of what that is by writing it down, because the mind is tricky, it'll whipsaw you all over the place. Now you're being the conscious observer of what the heck you think and feel, and you're discerning, this is not yet quite right, and this is where I want to go, and your path is open. You are taking charge of your life and your destiny by way of looking at the energy and information that comes up from within you. Your life experience is all the gold and all the garbage that you need to build your life and live a life. You have to discern which is which and pay attention and clarify it.
Well, Dr. Pullman, what really, one of the things that stands out for me in the journaling and that and your methodology and the whole your the Law of Attraction journaling is that when you're talking about, you know, your patients talking and then they begin to realize that what their feelings and what their thoughts were are not unreasonable or irrational. I think because we have that judgmental mind, we can do that as human beings a lot. We can dismiss our feelings, think they're unreasonable, think they're irrational, and therefore don't pay attention to ourselves and dismiss it rather than really hear or listen because once you see that they're serving a purpose. So I think that's really powerful that we can actually have that lens to go, okay, this is not crazy, this is not unreasonable, I'm not, and then we can see ourselves more clearly.
No.
So I think that's just so important.
When you're miserable and suffering, that's call it God's grace. That's a signal that says you're out of alignment with what you're meant to have and be and enjoy in this life. And the journaling process sees really what is the grievance, what's the complaint, what's so awful, and seeing it through a third eye, let's say, a third person perspective. Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so we can go about doing some healing or compassion, but you're in the realm of now let's move on and go beyond that.
So I'd love to hear more about that, going beyond that, because I guess that part, once you're able to gain that perspective and have a different lens and get clarity, then it becomes the next stage of that's where the Law of Attraction comes in. So we've talked about the journaling. Yeah. How do we then leap into that then to achieving our goals, our desires in life?
Well, this is the magic of Law of Attraction. Once you're clear about what's not yet quite right, where the grief and what's uncomfortable, and you get clearer and clearer, expand your vision of what you love, that alone is sufficient to energize the vibrational field, call it what you like, the dark field, the universal openness, that plenipotential universe. That starts to move the situations and people and things in your direction. That is what invokes the Law of Attraction. It's simply being clear of what you love and desire, but also being honest and clear and compassionate about that's not yet quite right, and now you're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm hearing from this, and something that I certainly ascribe to myself, is that you keep talking about, you know, our divine, our universal, you know, consciousness, and that that's already inside of it, our spiritual self, and it's already has all the wisdom.
It's our essence. It's our ground of being. Now, we get muddied by the words we use, but we know, if we're happy and we know it, you know, clap your hands, we know it.
Right, right. And what you're saying is that once we get clear about ways that maybe we're getting stuck, we're getting in our own way,
yes,
then once we move those blocks out through that clarity and that awareness, then that divine source that within us can be illuminated, it can be expressed, it has room and space to shine,
yes,
and grow and just express itself in this world and manifest itself, its truth.
Yes, I would agree with everything you said. The only little tweak I'd make, again in the words, and it's paying attention to the words we write, when we get stuff out of the way, we don't do it. The universe does.
Right.
All we're required to do is open up our heart, be clear what we love, tell the truth about what's not yet quite right by, you know, writing this and that, and getting clear. This is it. This is it. This is what's not quite right in the relationship. This is what I'm angry about or hurt about. And this is really what I love, and you've done it. There are some action steps. We have what we call a fourth step, the action, where we call that surrendering to the process, taking only those actions that are effortless and reasonable that move you in your direction. Handle what needs to be handled, open up and allow in what you desire. So action doesn't be, we got to do this and got to do that and I got to do push-ups. And No, that's your ego driving you crazy. Simply note that egoic pattern, that the pressure and push you full of the obsessions and this behavior and that. Just note it, look at it. You're exploring it, look at, oh, that's interesting. Mike's really funny about his craziness about, you know, I don't know, looking both ways. And simply appreciate it.
So how could we, how can we develop this habit? So what's required in the whole journaling, law of attraction journaling process?
The habit is really nothing more or less than paying attention to what you think or feel and putting some notes down. And we have this journal available with looking at different categories of life, purpose, health, relationship, and your environment, and simply put some thoughts down. And then as you see that feels okay or this would feel better, you start to see there's a balancing between your heart's desires, what you appreciate, what you know, your desires, and on the other hand, that current reality, things not quite right, it's valid, it's accurate, and getting that you are this spiritual being, this heart's consciousness opening up, and you have a human experience, and the more that's attended to and addressed, at the same time attended to with a sense of, I want to have this, I'd like to be this way in life, to have these relationships, to be financially comfortable and to be of service and to, you know, help others in this unique way, that'll become clearer and clearer. So your words start to drop away, the tension, the struggle drops away, and you start to operate more from a sense of flow and knowing.
That's very beautiful. Dr. Coleman, we will be needing to wrap up. You've offered us so much. We're having such a good time with you. Can you leave the listeners with one final takeaway for them to really tap into this, to create the change they want in their life and harness their,
yes,
own power?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sign up for the Law of Attraction Journaling Program. It's absolutely free. Join us and to see if you can tell the truth about what's going on. Reveal what your heart is telling you. And on the one hand, tell your journal, you're the only one that sees it, what's not quite right. Tell the truth about that human form, that a human expression that's uncomfortable, and the clearer that is, the more that's brought forth, the more you're opening up to a sense of knowing, compassion, and life expands.
The Law of Attraction Journaling is a four-step roadmap to create the change that you want in your life. So go ahead and visit the Law of Attraction Journaling website. That's www.lawofattractionjournaling.com. journaling.com and sign up for the Law of Attraction Journal so we can all get plugged into creating the amazing life that we deserve. Thank you so much, Dr. Perlman, for offering your insights and wisdom for us today.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thank you.
So that's lawofattractionjournaling.com. Great insights for us today. And to get more and how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. Check out the amazing experts there. There's so many incredible tips and tools for creating the amazing life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. And keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on the limb to achieve the happy, the healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here again tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.